forgot to do that.
Nah, it's all good. Seen enough.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. Tonight is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, April 26, 2016. Time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you please read the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Scarborough.
Thank you. Earlier this evening, we received word from Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Cutterback that each one of them would be a little bit late, so we do expect them. Councilmember Davis, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have a couple of proclamations on our agenda this evening under announcements and presentations. The first proclamation we have is for Public Works Week. So this is for May 15th through the 21st of 2016. Whereas public works services provided in our community are an integral part of our citizens' everyday lives, and whereas the support of and understanding informed citizenry is vital to the efficient operation of public works systems and programs such as water, sewers, streets and highways, public buildings, and solid waste collection. And whereas the health, safety, and comfort of this community greatly depends on these facilities and services, and whereas the quality and effectiveness of these facilities, as well as their planning, design, and construction, are vitally dependent upon the efforts and skill of public works officials. Now therefore I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, do hereby proclaim the week of May 15th through the 21st of 2016 as Public Works Week in the City of Monroe, and I call upon all citizens and civic organizations to acquaint themselves with the issues involved in providing our public works and to recognize the contributions which public works professionals make every day to our health, safety, comfort, and quality of life. Mr. Fowler, will you come forward and receive this?
Okay, one more.
Okay, thank you.
Our second proclamation for this evening is a proclamation for the National Day of Prayer, which is May 5th of 2016. Whereas our nation's great strengths is the freedom that we hold dear, including the freedom to exercise our faiths freely. For many Americans, prayer is an essential act of worship and a daily discipline. And whereas today and every day, prayers will be said for comfort for those who mourn, healing for those who are sick, protection for those who are in harm's way, and strength for those who weep. Today and every day, forgiveness and reconciliation will be sought through prayer. Across our country, Americans give thanks for our many blessings, including the freedom to pray as our consciences dictate. And whereas, as we give thanks for our liberties, we must never forget those around the world, including Americans, who are being held or persecuted because of their convictions. Let us remember all prisoners of conscience today, whatever their faiths or beliefs and wherever they may be held. Let us continue to take every action within our power to secure their release, and let us carry forward our nation's tradition of religious liberty, which protects Americans' right to pray and to practice our faiths as we see fit. And whereas annually the President of the United States of America issues a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer, Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, Mayor of the City of Monroe, Washington, do hereby support and encourage the residents of Monroe to join me on May 5, 2016, in observing the National Day of Prayer, and join the citizens of our nation in giving thanks in accordance with our own faiths and consciences for our many freedoms and blessings, and in asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection. Pastor?
Thank you. Thank you. Here you go.
All right, thank you, everybody. The next item on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matters subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet, and nobody has signed in this evening. However, the people who have not signed in may provide public comment. Is there anybody here today that would like to provide public comment? Anybody? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council. And before I call on Councilmember Camp, please let the record show that at 7:01 p.m. the Councilmember Hanford entered chambers, and that at 7:05 the Councilmember Cutterback entered chambers. So we have all seven here at this time. Councilmember Camp.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp and then a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. The next item on the agenda is unfinished business. This is item 1, AD-16051, discussion, Monroe Community Coalition, action and recommendations. And by way of this, I'm going to give a very brief introduction, and then staff will go ahead and continue from there. As you recall, the Monroe Community Coalition came in and gave a presentation a few weeks ago. Two council members requested that the item be brought back forward, where there were recommendations or requests that the Community Coalition had. I met with representatives from the Monroe Community Coalition on April 7th. In attendance were also Chief Windsor and Mr. Brazel, and also Pam Baker. We were able to identify some of the items that the Monroe Community Coalition were seeking council's consideration of. Those are, number one, prohibiting alcohol on public property, including in events. This would include events such as in city parks, like music in the park and wakeboard events, and also in city right-of-ways. And an example of that would be Main Street following the Fair Days Parade. Item number two was making it unlawful for a person under the age of 18 to possess a vaping device. Item number three would be establishing a city prohibition to smoking and vaping in city parks. And then item number four, a civil penalty would apply to the renter or property owner of property where underage drinking of more than 10 people is occurring. And I'm sorry, there's a fifth item. That is coordinating with the city on a drug take back program. Of all of these, the fifth item is one we are already doing. As many of you are aware, we do have a prescription drug take-back program. There's a bend over in the police department, and we agreed that we would work with the Community Coalition to provide more information and to really continue to get the word out on that program that we have here at Monroe. So with all that said, I'm going to go ahead and hand things over to Mr. Brazel.
Okay. Yeah, and then I will just say a few words and then pass it over to the chief. I did have a moment to speak with Zach on this matter, and his preference is to stick with state law. He wasn't familiar with the other cities that have adopted similar language. We have not done any research as of yet talking to those cities. But we can certainly do that if there's certain items.
I'm sorry, which item?
The smoking and vaping in city parks.
Thank you.
Correct.
Okay.
if council chooses this evening to want staff to go ahead and look into some of these matters, we will certainly engage and do that. But right now, the preference is attorney and staff looking at it is to stick to state law, and then the chief can talk about enforcement concerns.
Which item are we talking about, vaping, or are we talking about the gathering of...
I was being general and talking about all of them.
Oh, okay.
Four.
Thank you. The vaping item that I asked to be included was the possession of a vaping tool. And the reason that is, rather than the actual vaping, is because vaping today is being used for just not the what they originally came out for, the flavored fluid that they put in and supposed to help you get off cigarettes. They are putting heroin in the vaping device and the like. So I think it behooves the city of Monroe to, on vaping devices, to the mere possession of the device under the age of 18 should be illegal in the state of, or in the city of Monroe. On the gathering, I'm not sure, I don't have the exact wording in front of me what it is for. Prohibiting alcohol, well, the civil penalty would apply to a renter or property owner where underage drinking or more than, examples we were given where three and four individuals is occurring. In other words, underage gathering, I think in my opinion, three and four is too little in this in this regard. And I put, I asked that 10 be put in there because if you have 10, you have a party. And that's what we get called on is, we don't get called on when there's three individuals or four individuals inside a home that may be underage that are consuming some type of alcohol, but we get called on when there's 10 or more, something like that, and then we're able to respond to it. And then we can cite the renter of the property or the property owner, or hopefully they're the individuals that provided the alcohol to the underage individuals.
And so I know we bounced around a little bit. There are five items here. We're doing one of the five items right now, items one through four. Certainly what we're looking for is just direction from council on which, if any, of those you'd like us to bring back for more discussion. And so that's kind of what we're looking for this evening. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I just want some clarification. So, current laws for possession, there are no laws for possessing a vaping device under 18?
I believe the governor just signed a law that, that under the age of 18, you can't vape or you can't have, I don't know if it says, I haven't seen the law, but I don't know if it says possession of.
Okay, so does that make number two moot? I mean, if it's already a state law.
If it says possession, I don't know if it says possession. I haven't seen it. He just signed it last week.
Yeah, I would add, if it's okay, that right since we initially met with the mayor and chief and city administrator, this bill was resurrected at the end of the regularly scheduled session. It was not going to be passed, but since they moved into special session, this was signed, passed by both houses, signed by Governor Inslee on April 19th. There's a preemption clause now that really only permits municipalities
Mr. Knight,
to regulate.
Mr. Knight, can you come on up to the podium and just state your name?
So sorry.
Sorry, I just want to make sure that you're...
So there's a preemption clause in this Senate bill that essentially prohibits municipalities from regulating anything except for parks ordinances. So the bill is less than a week old. I don't have all of the details for you, but this is Senate Bill 6328. Cities may only regulate the use of vape devices in outdoor public places where children congregate, such as playgrounds and parks. So on our talking voice tonight, this was something we struck from our list of recommended action until we have more details. The state is holding a meeting tomorrow to talk about this in part, among other issues. So we'll know more about what really is allowable by municipalities after tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
And one of the things that we can certainly do, councils, we can go through and staff and update some of the things based on changes in law that just occurred also. So we can go through and update that. Thank you.
The other, if I may, the other clarification I wanted to make was around this using the nuisance code to prohibit underage gatherings. So RCW 6644270 criminalizes furnishing alcohol to minors in our state. We know that prosecuting under this RCW can be time-consuming and expensive. Really, what I've heard from law enforcement is, if parents are upstairs, a party's happening downstairs, and the parent says, "I didn't know this was happening," burden of proof is almost insurmountable on law enforcement. And when these cases generally get transferred over to the prosecutor's office, they don't have the time or staff to pursue those, at least on a county-wide basis. So what some cities have done is use the nuisance code and switch the focus from who provided to where alcohol was provided. So the unruly gathering, chief friends are saying 10 or more is when he's responding to these complaints, really says, because we had to respond and there were underage drinkers on this property, the property controller, and the property controller is the one who's held responsible because it happened on that property. So there are exceptions that other municipalities have incorporated, like property owners who are out of state or renters as controllers rather than landlords. So these are customizable bills. We're certainly not encouraging anything that's not a good fit, but I really just wanted to clarify that the intent there is to shift focus from who provided to where it happened. So
thank you.
I just needed to get more questions.
Sure. I have another question for Chief. Mr. Quenzer. Chief Quenzer. The group item here, I keep thinking of large family gatherings. Things happen. This isn't, and what I've read in the examples for ordinances below, that's not the kind of thing that you were proposing with the group of 10 or more.
No.
Okay.
No, large family gatherings, I'm sure the majority of them are adults, mm-hmm. and a few children there. No.
Right.
What we're looking for is the teenage parties. Mom and dad are gone for the weekend or whatever. The teenager decides to throw a party and we get called. And this is something that we can work on. But not normally family gatherings do we get called on.
Okay.
We have in the past, but very seldom.
I would think so. All right, thank you. I'll have other comments about other things, but I'd like the other council members have some comments.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
First, I want to thank the coalition for bringing this forward. This is, I think, very important, and I appreciate you bringing it forward into our attention and bringing recommendations, because that helps us. So thank you for that. Looking at the items, just to give you kind of a rundown of what I'm looking at. Number one, at this point, without getting more input from business communities and event sponsors in the chamber, I would not be in favor of moving forward at this point. I think that would affect more of the community, more of the business owners. We're trying to promote events, so I think that could have a limiting effect on those. Two and three, I am in favor of learning more what the state is doing. And really, off the top of my head, I'm in favor of looking at doing something in those areas. I think vaping is incredibly dangerous. I think it's, you look at the statistics and the increase and the lack of knowledge of parents thinking, well, isn't that safer? And I think that's a real concern for our community, and I think we need to be proactive and as a community do something about that. So I am supportive of doing something around that, 100%. Number four, I agree with the chief. I think having it 10 or more and underage drinking, and I appreciate the distinction because when I read through this, I said, okay, well, we already criminalize underage drinking, so how are we adding value here by enacting something like this? But you answered that question. So for me personally, I think getting more information on 2 and 3, vaping, what the state is doing. Currently, we allow public, like, smoking at public parks. Okay, I guess I didn't know that. I think that's...
What's, Mr. Farrell, do we currently allow smoking in public parks?
Yes, I believe so. There was a, resolution that was passed about 12, 14 years ago with the Snohomish County Health District to educate the community and to ask people to smoke in parks. So, but I think, like, there is a code requirement.
Okay. Well, that, to be honest, that somewhat surprised me. But so I would definitely be in favor of looking in that, maybe getting P4 to look at that, getting more research, looking at what other communities have done. But I am definitely in favor of looking at no vaping and no smoking at public parks, and definitely under a device under the age of 18. And I've been up at Sky River Park quite a bit at the dog park, and what I notice under that covering right there, there seemed to be a congregation of young adults going there with, it appears, vaping devices. So that is, I've seen it with my own eyes, so I think it is something that we need to pay attention to. So those are my thoughts. Again, thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, and in regards to number three, smoking and vaping in city parks, I actually brought this up with the P4 committee last month as a discussion, and then we discussed it again tonight, and Councilmember Davis had more on it in his report, but I would certainly like to have staff explore this a little bit more, similar to you're surprised, Councilmember Kovac. I was surprised that smoking isn't already prohibited in our park system, and I feel that, you know, it should be, and vaping devices or vaping should be is equivalent, in my opinion, to smoking, and so it should be on the same level. I know City of Arlington has banned the smoking in their parks. And in fact, the Snohomish Health Board honored the city with an award at the meeting just 2 weeks ago for their efforts. They're kind of the pioneers in this. And so I'd be curious to hear feedback from them on what they did and so forth. So, the only other comment that I would offer that hasn't been already said, and it's just more of an FYI in regards to the number five, the drug take back program. A couple months ago, I reported that the county was looking to expand that a little bit and have the drop boxes included in some of the stores, such as, you know, where you pick up your prescriptions, and actually include non-prescription drugs and so forth. That process appears to be moving forward as far as taking the next steps. There's still some pushback on it, but the drug take back program does appear to be moving in that direction. So possibly within the next couple of months, we might get some updates on that. But that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. First of all, just want to echo what Councilman Kovac said. Thank you for bringing this information and recommendations. It definitely helps. Regarding number one, I don't think there's that many events that we do where alcohol is involved. For the few things that we do, I don't think that that's... I don't think that we should pursue enacting that one at this time. Definitely in favor of number two, with making it unlawful for people under the age of 18 to possess a vaping device. Most definitely in favor of number three, establishing the city prohibition for smoking and vaping in city parks. I've been at the movies under the moon and been just nauseated by the amount of smoke that's been around me at times. Not every time, but several times. And that's been actually a source of frustration. So I was surprised too that that wasn't. So I would love to see that prohibited before the summer so I can enjoy the movies better. Number four, with the renter or property owner switching it, that makes sense. And the number 10 makes sense, like your description there. And then the only thing I would say about number five, it says we're going to work together to provide additional outreach. Excuse me, an education about this program, and so that sounds like exactly what we need to do, just get the word out. I think that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Thanks for the other comments. As I was researching this, I seem to recall that we had we did have a ban on alcohol a few years. We took it away. Within the last 5 years, where we all started allowing the beer gardens at events. Brad, you know everything. Okay. So I take that head nod, that means it's permanent. So, and I think Monroe was one of two cities in Western Washington that did it. And there were, people wanted to be able to have that ability, that option when they're putting on an event. And that's why we switched back to it. I really don't think Monroe would want to go back to that. The beer gardens I've seen at events have been well maintained, well enforced, and I don't really care for beer gardens, but I just thought they were handled very well. So, good idea, but I think we've tried it. It did, and either it didn't work or it just wasn't good for what the community wanted. It sounds like number two is maybe moot, but I agree with the sentiment, and I. If you're under 18, you shouldn't be doing this anyway. Number three, I spoke to what few smokers I still know, and every one of them said that if you're around children in a park, you shouldn't be smoking. That was what irritated them more than anything else. I haven't had the experience of movies under the moon, getting a cloud of smoke wafting over me, but I can understand that. What I'm concerned about is enforcement. I've seen the police department out busting everybody with what looks like a vape thing or a cigarette. I don't know. I don't know what the options are with that. So I'd like to have maybe one of the committees look at it a little bit more in depth before we move forward on something like that or consider it. The civil penalty, family functions, family events. You have the 20-year-old who's drinking, the 19-year-old who's drinking at a wedding or something. That's the kind of thing that I really don't want us to, the road that I don't want us to go down. The beer bash or whatever at somebody's house while mom and dad are away on a little vacation. Absolutely, I think it'd be good. And I think we should look more into that with the guidance from the police department on what would be effectively enforceable and how we can move forward. Number five, I applaud the city for doing that. It's a good program, and I hope it continues. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. You know, one other comment I did want to add to my previous comments is regardless of, you know, what information we find in, you know, the directions that we head on the individual items, I think as a council, this is a great opportunity to work with an organization like the Coalition on the education piece of it. And with the underage drinking and the smoking, you know, this is kind of the common ground is what I'm hearing is there's a real opportunity to work together for the education. So regardless of what happens, I definitely want us to move forward and with that. So.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I have the same question as Councilmember Camp, and actually I was just wondering if the piece as far as enforcement of a smoking ordinance in the parks, because I'm envisioning, I think I heard it before, Al Borland Park, all along the river, people fishing on the lake. and even your moons. You know, I'm just thinking of a lot of places that have smoking bans, including CenturyLink Field that I go to. How would we enforce that? I just don't want it to be a sign code ordinance that we can't enforce, I guess is what I'm saying. Do you have any opinion?
Well, I guess what I would say is a lot of our civil infractions, there's kind of an unwritten priority list.
Correct.
And, you know, about the time we get a call that there's two or three people or one person even smoking in the park, it depends on what else is going on during that time frame. If there's something that occurs that would be higher on our priority list, such as an assault or something like that, we wouldn't be able to respond. But we would, if it comes out, we would do our best to respond. So that's about all I can say. I don't know how any other cities that have enacted these regulations and how their enforcement is on it. I think a lot of the enforcement is by fellow park goers who would just tell the person, hey, you're not supposed to be smoking in the park. There's a sign there that says that. And I think that's where a lot of your enforcement comes from. I don't know how much it would be for someone to actually be cited. Or even if we would contact them, I can't guarantee that they would receive some type of a civil infraction for it. Or just a warning. So it's all gets down to priorities at the time of the call.
The other question was that I had was around the...
Councilmember Gimel, if you don't mind, Mr. Brazel's got a little bit more to add on
sure.
That, I think.
Yeah, if I could. Because it seems like we have consensus to look into this. Well, we do that. We will look at something that's reasonable, that can be enforced, or at least practically applied. Certainly, if you got a person out in a canoe in the middle of Lake Tai by themselves having a smoke, or they're out there bird watching, we're not going to drop the fire department's boat in and go after them.
Right.
Or Al Borland Park. So we will look at some enforceable, practical verbiage and bring that back.
Councilmember Gamble.
The other item that I had was on the civil penalty, item number 4. Because when I heard the description, so basically you're just looking to have some, you know, the example you're giving is Junior throws a party while the parents are gone, so that you could basically go after the parents, correct?
Go after the property.
The parents.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I would envision,
what I guess,
this happening would be like the end of the school year parties that go.
Sure.
That's where we see a lot of it.
What are we hoping to accomplish there, I guess is my question.
Well, we're probably hoping to accomplish that they don't leave Johnny home alone when he acts like that.
I would add that inherent in all of these is discretion by law enforcement to know when it's appropriate and when it isn't to enforce these codes. The idea isn't to catch parents who are at a family gathering and alcohol may be consumed. The idea is to be able to identify people who are repeat offenders. They're violating what is for us a community norm. Most adults agree it's not okay to provide alcohol to other people's kids. And this gives law enforcement an additional tool to help enforce community norms. Same as the ban on smoking in the park, just setting the norm, using your authority as policymakers in the community to set that norm, that in our community it's not okay, is shown by research to have a deterrent effect on youth. So the norm is a big part of what you guys will be able to influence in terms of community-wide, population-wide prevention.
I guess my concern specifically on number 4, you know, Chief, is that, and I get that's what I was thinking you were going to say, but there are a lot of instances, and I can even think back to my adolescence, where mom and dad would go on a vacation or whatever, and they'd actually leave us with a responsible party, and we would go to the movies.
I believe you're beyond the statute of limitations.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I'm having a hard time holding my parents responsible from a poor act or decision that I made, and going to, because basically the way that this is written, even though the parent did everything, or left them with a grandparent, or left them with an uncle that lives in town, but then you meet at your place because you know no one's there, and you have a, you know, you throw a party while your parents are out of town, and the parent did everything right. But under this, the way that we have this written up, it would be a civil penalty. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just clarification.
Junior's not scot-free either.
Well, Junior doesn't get away scot-free in currently, is my point. Really, all that this would be doing is punishing the parent.
I think what we will see occur is there are certain residences within our jurisdiction that have these type of gatherings more than just once, and this would give us a tool in order to go after that particular owner of the property or renter of the property to curtail those type of gatherings.
Yeah, I completely appreciate that and understand the intent. I guess all I'm cautioning us as we sit here and ask for that is the unintended consequences that come out of any action that you take. Because you can't, from my perspective, you'd have to enforce unilaterally. We can't just choose we're only going to enforce it for the instance that you're talking about. You'd have to enforce it unilaterally across the board.
You enforce it, but it's still, as the general said, officer's discretion. If it's a one-time thing, and it's obvious that the property owners, such as the parents, had no idea that this was going to occur, there's nothing in that says that you must cite the person. You have no discretion. And I'm sure when this situation occurs, I'm sure the officers will take that into consideration too. But again, it's my experience in this city that there are a number of homes that continually we get calls to because they're having parties. And that's where enforcement action would be taken rather than perhaps a warning.
And then today, the action that can be taken is just underage drinking.
Yes.
And that's the current action, that we are taking that today.
Unless we can prove who purchased the alcohol.
Then you can take action there too, yes. But it's just the underage, just the minor in, what are they calling it now? Minor in possession, minor, right. Okay.
Okay.
I completely understand what you're trying to accomplish. I'm always apprehensive of whether it's in a business practice and or the way you're designing a procedure or process or a law that's to try to target a specific behavior, that we're not looking at the other unintended consequences that can happen when you do something like that. All intentions are great, right? But then on the back end, it's for everybody. That's all. But consensus is we'll bring it back.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Thanks. I just wanted to give my two cents on that. I totally concur with what the chief has said about specific families, because having teenagers myself, I've heard about these families from their friends this is things that I've heard about quite a bit, so it's not just.
Yeah.
I've heard all about it at my house, so just want to concur with that.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I guess the logical question, because I'm not arguing that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be for the attorney or whatever, is that if that particular family feels that they could sue the city because they're being targeted, when they're able to produce five different examples of other families in the community that had an example of the party that you had right there and said, you know, this is discrimination. And we go back, well, it's officer discretion. Well, that doesn't really say that, but I understand the point. That's all. Those are the questions that I'm asking. I'm right on board. I'd love to be able to give a tool for the chief to address the particular issue he wants to handle. But we live in a society that when we have several examples of that, where it immediately boomerangs back at the city. That's all.
All right. Are there any other comments, Council? All right. So I'm hearing consensus on bringing back, at least for either more information or further conversation, the following. Item number 2, make it unlawful for a person under the age of 18 to possess a vaping device. Item number 3, establishing a city prohibition to smoking and vaping in city parks. Item number 4, adopting a civil penalty that would apply to a renter or property owner of a property where underage drinking of more than 10 people is occurring. Are there any council members that disagree that there should, or rather would want, either number 1 or number 5 added to the list to come back? Okay. Would you like to have these come back to the full body of council? My proposal would be to have them brought back individually, because you could spend some time talking about each item, so we can bring them back to council individually or to the P4 committee, or bring it to council and then to the P4 committee. Preferences?
You can bring it to the P4 committee, but I think it'd be better just to bring it to council and let
okay.
us. I don't know that the P4 is going to do
okay.
anything further with it. So.
Okay. Councilmember Scarborough?
I would agree with that. I think bring it back to the whole council and bring it back one at a time, considering the time it takes, and discuss them and then plan whether or not to adopt them.
Okay. If it is okay with staff and council, would you want to start off with number 3, which is a smoking and vaping in city parks, and then move to number 4, and then move to number 2? Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I'm just wondering if we could, will we have more information on number 2, which I believe is affected by
yes.
state law now?
Correct.
So
yes.
if we did that first,
okay.
find out what we have now or what they're going to add to it, and look at that. That'd be the only change, I think.
Chief, Gene, do you have preferences?
I don't.
Okay, so we'll go in the order of 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you all very much. And to the Monroe Community Coalition, I do appreciate the work that you're doing here in our community. Thank you for taking the time to sit down with me and staff to go over this. Thank you for bringing it to all of our attention.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda is new business item number 1. This is AB 16052, setting a date for consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation regarding Skyview Ridge preliminary plat and preliminary planned residential development, or PRD. Mr. Osaki.
So, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, the hearing examiner held a public hearing on a preliminary plat PRD called Skyview Ridge, 42 lots located at the far north city limits. He issued his recommendation to the council on April 14th, and the code requires that the city council receive the hearing examiner recommendation and set a hearing or set a date to formally consider the hearing examiner recommendation. Today is the day for you to set that particular meeting date to consider the hearing examiner recommendation. The staff is recommending that be next week, May 3rd, and I am just going to point out a typo in the requested action, so if someone reads that literally, it's going to put a little crimp in our permit processing times. It should be May 3rd, 2016, rather than May 3rd, 2016. I won't be here in 2006 to make a presentation, so, and with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp?
I have no question, but I will move to set the date of May 3rd, 2016 for the for the City Council's closed record consideration of the hearing examiner's recommendation on Skyview Ridge, a preliminary plat and preliminary planned residential development, PRD number 15, PR-002.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gamble, to set a date of May 3rd, 2016 for the City Council's closed record consideration of the Skyview Ridge preliminary plat and PRD. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda is also new business, item number 2. This is AB 16053, Discussion Downtown Fee Waiver Report. Mr. Osaki.
So, Mayor, members of the Council, last June, the City Council passed Ordinance 09-2015 that temporarily, for a one-year period, waived certain permit fees in the downtown area. Included in that ordinance is a section that says approximately 45 days before the expiration of that ordinance or that temporary permit fee waiver program that the Director of Community Development report to the Council on the costs and benefits to the City of Monroe of the result of that ordinance. So in your packet, attachment 2 addresses all intents and purposes costs in the sense that that represents the permits that have been applied for under this program and the amount of each permit and the total cost of permits that have been waived is slightly under $10,000 from that period from June to about a week ago. The benefits are a little more difficult to quantify and because you don't know for certain whether or not this program incentivized or didn't incentivize these particular applicants to process permits in the downtown. So let me just say a couple words about that. I've talked to my staff and just basically asked them subjectively what have you been hearing, and a couple of items that they mentioned right off the bat was there are probably people that have been looking into downtown and they're aware of this program that may not have been looking into downtown and spaces downtown otherwise. So that might be one benefit. And then the second benefit is there are individuals who probably process their permits sooner rather than later because of this program. And I don't know if that's just because there's an expiration deadline and people knew they had to get in before the expiration timeline or not. But subjectively, that's what we're hearing. And certainly, there's some other benefits. If people are taking advantage of this program, people are investing in downtown and getting spaces filled up that are otherwise vacant. And certainly, we may be getting other forms of taxes, sales tax revenue as a result of that. So, you know, our comprehensive plan that was adopted in 2015, December of last year, talks a lot about creating a thriving downtown. We certainly still have tenant spaces in our downtown area that could benefit from occupancy. And we now have a pretty active group, the Downtown Monroe Association, that we could actually use to help market and promote this program even more than what we've been able to do previously. So the staff recommendation is to direct the mayor and city staff to come back with an ordinance that would extend this program for another year.
Thank you, Mr. Osaki. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I'll move to direct the mayor and city staff to prepare an ordinance for the City Council's consideration that would extend the downtown fee waiver program for an additional one-year period beyond the current June 14, 2016 expiration date.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Cuddeback, to move to direct the mayor and staff to prepare an ordinance to extend the downtown fee waiver program to next year. All right, any discussion on the motion?
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to say was that I think that we included possibly in our city bills one notice about this. But I think we should maybe advertise this fact quite a bit more if we're going to do this, and not just like once or twice, but maybe just plan to do it every other month,
okay,
or something like that. Get some kind of a schedule so it's constantly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, discussion on motion. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I would agree with that. That was one of my questions, Dave, was just how are we continually kind of advertising this to the downtown core?
The It's on our website.
Okay.
And that's where I'm picking up some phone calls in that respect. We certainly have a lot of stakeholders that are aware of that, but I actually just thought that's a great topic because we have turnover.
Yeah.
For example, at the chamber. So we have some individuals at the chamber who are very well aware of it, who may not be as aware of it now.
Yeah.
And certainly when I went out to some community clubs like the Rotary and spoke there, I mentioned it there. But to some extent, now we have a variety of individuals through the Downtown Monroe Association. And so word of mouth is going to be pretty effective, I think, as well. And then certainly our staff is all well aware of it. I mean, they know the minute someone comes in and wants to talk about downtown or investing in downtown, this is one of the first things that they'll speak to.
I mean, do we have a sign in the waiting area or lobby that says, if you're applying for something downtown, ask us about our permit waiver?
No,
is that
a good idea. We have room up there that we can...
Yeah, whenever we're trying to do something, it's... Now, is that...
I think we have a flyer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But kind of putting it more front and center, saying, hey, if you're applying for something downtown, ask us. They'll ask the question. Just something like that. So I think I agree with Councilmember Hanford that keeping it top of mind, I know we started it. I think people were excited. They were happy we were doing it. But if we're going to continue to do it, needs some constant marketing. My other question was, I think it would be very helpful if we could know if this is incentivizing in any way, and one way to do that is when they come in and they apply for something to say, ask the question. I mean, could we ask just the question on the permit that says, was the waiver influential? Or, you know, come up with just one question, or is there a way that we can add that on there where they check the box, yeah, it did matter to me, and then you see if so you have data after the year, yeah, we had all of these people that would not have come in but for that.
You know what I'm actually thinking of doing? I'm actually thinking of sending out a survey to the ones that have come through this.
And then the question.
Good.
It's just helpful when you're looking at it. I mean, that was a great question what you asked. So that was it, but I'm in favor of it. So.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
So on one hand, you're saying that $9,700 was lost in permits, and on the other hand, it's brought in more people, correct? It's brought in people saying, I wanted...
Yes, and then it's hard to quantify, for example, the revenue, like sales tax revenue or anything like that.
Okay, and you said people are applying for permits. Is there an expiration date on permits when they're applied for? I mean, it's... Somebody comes in and says, yeah, I want to redo the front of my building. They want a permit, and then they don't do anything with it for a long time.
Don't do anything with the permit?
Yes.
They would actually, okay, so...
Would it expire?
There's probably like two components to this fee waiver on a building permit. One is you come in to the counter, and you give us your permit, and you pay a plan review fee. So now that part's waived. The other part of the permit is when you actually pick it up. So if they came in and submitted a permit, let's say the day before it expires, they would benefit from not paying the plan review fee. But then if they waited a week or 3, 4, or 5 months, they would have to pay the building permit fee unless this is extended.
Okay.
So there's some timing issues associated with this.
Okay. Hey, Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I'm in favor of the extension to it, but if so, this would extend it for 1 year and then it would die. There's no...
Yes, and I think...
Is there any review like this year or anything like that attached to it, or is it just a 1 year extension?
Well, it's whatever the City Council directs staff to do. Well, we're suggesting another additional 1 year since this one was 1 year as well.
Right. In that case, then I would just suggest that we extend it for a year and then let it end.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I guess on the questionnaire that Patsy was talking about, and you were saying we're going to reach out to folks, I guess the question that I would ask is, were they aware of the permit being waived before coming to the city file?
Okay.
As opposed to, does it make a difference? Because, heck yeah, make me feel great. Makes a difference. But were they aware before walking through the doors? I mean, I'm in total support. I mean, there's a few ways that we can, that our actions, our stuff can make a difference for downtown. investing in infrastructure, you know, waiving fees and supporting a downtown association. We're doing all three. So I think we just, we continue it.
Okay. Anything else, council? All right, there is a motion on the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda. This is new business item number 3. This is AB 16054, authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the Snohomish County CDBG grant agreement for the railroad crossing sidewalk extension project. Now, I'm going to ask the city clerk note my recusal in the official minutes for the meeting for this item. The reason for my recusal is that I am employed by the contracting party, Snohomish County. My position with the county is that of an employee, and my compensation consists entirely of a fixed salary. There is no contingent component of my compensation package. Pursuant to RCW 42-23040, and based upon my consultation with the city attorney, I accordingly have, at most, a remote interest in the agreement and am removing myself from chambers. Thank you.
I'll wait till you're all the way out.
Wow.
Oh, look at that. Here we go. First, I have to thank Ms. Smoot for the wonderful script that you have provided for me. So that's wonderful. please let the record show that Mayor Thomas has exited the council chambers for discussion and potential action on Agenda Bill 16-054. And that's to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the Snohomish County CDBG grant agreement for the railroad crossing sidewalk extension project. Brad, is this yours?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
As we told you before, we applied for the grant to put in the sidewalk chunks across the railroad tracks on both Brown's Boulevard and 179th Avenue. We applied a while ago. We've been working with the railway, Burlington Northern and Santa Fe, and we think they're kind of okay with us doing this now. So now's the time to actually sign the grant paperwork, because we have a time, 18 months after it's signed, to spend the money, so we can kind of do it immediately. So our request tonight is to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the contract with Snohomish County CDBG grant. And also, there's more requests that needs to be appended to the end of the requested action that's listed there. In addition to authorizing the mayor pro tem to sign, we are also asking for authorization to develop the plans and specifications for the project, and also go out and solicit bids for the project. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions, Council? Councilmember Hanford?
Can you repeat that again? Authorize?
I wrote it down,
the
too.
The preparation of plans and specifications and authorize the solicitation of bids.
Hold on, write this down.
Okay. Okay.
Authorize preparation for plans and
specifications.
Specs, okay.
And then the solicitation of bids.
For the construction?
Yes.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make the motion then. To authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the Snohomish County CDBG grant agreement for the railroad crossing sidewalk extension project, and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate, and authorize staff to prepare for plans and specifications, and to solicit bids for the construction.
Second. A motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Rasmussen to authorize the mayor pro tem to sign the Snohomish County CDBG grant extension for the railroad crossing sidewalk extension project, and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate, and authorize our staff to prepare plans and specifications, and also to solicit bids for construction. I think I got that. Mm-hmm. Any discussion on the motion? Being none, I call for a vote on the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Vote passes 7-0.
Six.
Five. I voted aye.
Keep going. Seven.
Got it. That's it. How's your chance? Keep going.
Keep going.
Go through the rest of the
Yeah.
He got that quick. He's like...
All right, thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is council member reports. The first report we'll go ahead and take from the P4 committee. Councilmember Davis.
P4 committee did meet today. Basically, we went through our updates on our work plan. A couple of the topics that we did discuss were the lighting for downtown and basically what we were looking at, and we've discussed this in the past, timing with the lighting. If the funding is there to purchase the lights, there's not that the timing to get those lights put up isn't readily available and have to be put on a schedule. There are three other projects that were mentioned that we might trade off, but they all had to do with safety and issues like that. So they really weren't a higher priority than the lighting. So the other option was coming up with some extra funds to pay overtime to the workers. That was suggested at about roughly $8,000 or $9,000. My understanding is that is going to be something that the Finance Committee is going to be looking at here next time they meet. So I believe that probably will be a part of their discussion. And our recommendation at the time was just put it on the schedule. And things, if there was more money, that would be great. If not, then it's on the schedule. Doesn't put it get it done till next year, not this spring, but the next spring. So it is kind of a long wait. But and that's where that we ended with that. We did discuss the vaping issue, and I guess we'll be dealing with that as a council.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Hanford.
Well, I just had a question about. So the three other items were safety items. I remember one of them was the ditches or something
between,
over
between the Frylands area and the business park and the And as that was explained tonight, you've got trees out there that are limbs are falling and things like that.
Okay.
So. Yeah, that, you know, I'm out there on a regular basis, so I was like, you know, we could let the grass grow a little longer in there, but we're talking about leveling that out, the other half of it, and removing some more dangerous trees that are out there, so.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Is there anything else for the P4 committee? All right, let's go down the line. Councilmember Scarbo.
Nothing to report tonight.
Okay. Councilmember Gamble.
I attended the Small City Snohomish County dinner this last week, specifically, you know, the two topics were Board of Health and then ST3, both good presentations. The ST3 component, I know Councilmember Scarborough was there, and I know you guys are probably going to touch on camp, and Jeff was there. So we had quite the representation of the mayor. It was good, you know, Jeff brings up quite a bit about, you know, being visible and being out there. And it definitely was noticed that we had a Monroe contingent and how a partnership between, you know, although we're not in the taxing district, how important it is for us, for our voices to be heard true and making sure that we voice our support and how that reciprocates with the 522 conversations that we have. But it was a good discussion. You know, two of the board members from the ST3 that were there, thought laid out a alternate plan that would get it there a little bit sooner that was, I thought, was pretty reasonable, and, you know, not getting fixated on get emotional really quickly and just look at the 2030 or whatever number it was. and be just upset that we're last, as opposed to looking at it and say, okay, what are some solutions that we can, so we don't tick everybody off, that we can get a little bit, you know, a little bit sooner. Understanding that, you know what, to get the entire package to pass, you may need, you know, on the ST3 plan, the Ballard or the West Seattle, what were they called? We're on the spot.
Spurs.
Yeah. Spurs, in order to, you know, to carry the, you know, to carry the vote. So very good, you know, presentation. I thought they handled it very well, and you know, and talking about the meetings as well. And then also just getting the update on, you know, how close we are to having, you know, the link light rail even to North Seattle, you know, Northgate.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it 2023 for Alderwood?
What's 33?
No, 33 was Everett. That's that would be on the ST3, but already on the ST2 is getting to you know, to Linwood, Aldernet, and just thinking what benefit to for our folks that makes, you know, coming in 522, bouncing up 405, right, and being able to jump on the Link light rail and go all the way to the airport. You know, there's just a lot of benefits there. So, good discussion and good networking opportunity. Besides that, I was last Saturday was able to first game I coached on the new high school field. I know I'm a dead horse, but I just continue. It just amazes me how the freeing up of one field. Just the domino effect it has in the community of kids being afforded opportunity to play on Rotary, because now Rotary is not being, that was the Monroe High School's field for the girls, and now it's open every, you know, every day of the week for Little League and, you know, and all that type of stuff. And then having that field that's available on the weekends for games for all of the Sky Valley leagues, it's just, it amazes me how one field makes a difference, and what a difference we'll make when we finally secure the grant funds for Lake Ty and have lighted fields out there. It just kind of, you know, goes to show how much of an asset they can be. So, anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis?
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Camp?
What Councilmember Campbell said. except for the sports part.
Thank you. Councilmember Asmussen?
It was a good meeting, and we were definitely well represented.
Additionally, just want to kudos for Lakeside Park and the progress of the skate park, and if anyone's driven by, I mean, there's a tractor right out in the middle of it right now, so looks a little different, but hey, the progress is moving forward. It's going to be awesome. The drainage around the playground looks like it's been completed and it's active. So, I mean, all of our parks in general are just looking awesome right now. So, I do want to let council know, you've probably heard of Sky Valley Education and what's going on over there. And I mean, you also probably saw the email on the community meeting that they had. And, health district staff's had been briefing me at the meeting, at the health board meetings, and just kind of letting me know what's going on, touch base with some of the school staff, and, you know, truthfully, I'm pleased to hear that they are working very closely with each other and getting the problems fixed and moving forward, and very, from what I can tell, very quickly and efficiently as possible. So, the one email that we did get, I did respond back to the gal and you know, just let her know. But from what I can tell, from just hearing from the district staff and the school staff, it's getting it worked on and moving forward. So, go ahead.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I want to apologize to council for missing 2 weeks ago. I felt so bad. I apologize to the community. I try not to miss council meetings.
Yeah. To the council.
And I had pneumonia, so it was one of those where I couldn't have crawled here, so I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything for about a week, so it's pretty out. I have never felt that way, so I apologize to council. Also wanted to wish Councilman Hanford for a happy late birthday. Last Tuesday was your birthday, and we didn't have council. I was all prepared to come Tuesday night and say happy birthday, and
Where's my cake?
I know. Wow. happy late birthday.
Thank you.
And then want to thank Mayor Thomas and Chief Quenzer for attending the Everett Community College Foundation breakfast this morning and sitting at my table. And we heard some comments from the new UW University of Washington president. So I think. About higher education, so I think it was a great, but thank you again for attending. So
thank you.
And then tomorrow night, I believe, is the Monroe Chamber Community Awards. So that's going on tomorrow night. I think that's PAC at the Monroe High School.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, with my work with Employees Community Fund of Bowen, I attend the quarterly United Way of Snohomish County Executive Directors meetings, and went to that last week, and they talked about all the different things that United Way is working on with dealing with poverty and homelessness and things like that, and trying to get funding to do some more simulations. And Monroe is one of the locations where they're looking to do that. So there was something out. I'm trying to remember. I came straight from a different meeting, so I didn't bring my notes. There was another thing that they talked about, and so I said, Monroe's all in, so just let us know how we can help. And so it's exciting. I also attended the meeting last week with all the rest of the gentlemen.
Forgot about that, too.
And that was good.
Thank you. Let's go out to staff. Mr. Worthen?
Nothing.
Hey. Mr. Farrell?
A few things. This weekend, there's an ultimate frisbee tournament that's going to be held at Sky River Park and Lake Tide Park. And then Parks and Recreation Department will have a booth at the YMCA's Healthy Kids Day. That's Saturday morning. It was mentioned earlier that the parks crew they made a repair to the drainage at the playground Lake Tye, and we installed new play chips there, so that's all done. People are enjoying the playground again, so that's good. Skate park project's moving along. They're doing a lot of demo, see some equipment out there. They're jackhammering parts of the concrete that they're removing, and they're also going to be reusing a section of the concrete as well that's there, repurpose it. Staff and the project inspectors have been meeting weekly on site with the contractor, Brian Line, so I'm just going to keep it in touch with them. The project's moving along. Let's see, another thing I want to mention is this Friday, members of the Monroe Gospel are going to be doing a volunteer cleanup project. They're going to be along the sidewalks and trail of Attorney Place, Kelsey and Chamberlain. They'll be doing a cleanup there, so we really appreciate their service. And lastly, we've been advertising a call for sculptors for the downtown outdoor sculpture, and the deadline for entries was yesterday. We received 5 entries, and the next step here is for the selection committee to review the proposals and then make a recommendation to the city council. So the selection committee will be meeting within the next week and a half. And the selection committee will be comprised of a park board representative, a planning commission representative, representative from the Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Monroe Association, Monroe Arts Council, city staff from Public Works and Community Development, and also a representative from the city council. So we are looking.
Thank you. That's my segue. So I had sent out an email to all of you asking if anybody would like to serve. I had 2 council members express an interest in serving, Councilmember Rasmussen and Councilmember Hanford. I would like to, so how frequently will the group meet, do you think? And
I believe that it'll probably be about 2 meetings, and it'll be within the next 2 to 3 weeks. We'd like to have the committee have their recommendation ready so that this can go before council by the beginning of June.
Okay. Okay. So are both of you still interested in serving, or Councilmember Hanford?
Was there, I can't remember if there was going to be meetings during the day or in the evening.
That's to be determined, so I want to get it out to the group and see when the group can meet, so we're flexible on that, where it's going to be for whatever the group can meet, whether that's day or evening.
I would love to serve, but got a daughter graduate from college in 10 days, so lots going on, so depending on the time and everything else,
okay.
Maybe better for you to do it if you're able to.
Okay.
But maybe we could shoot him the date, and if you can't make it for some reason, let me know, and I can see if I can cover.
Yeah.
Okay. So, without objection, then I will appoint Councilmember Rasmussen to serve. Councilmember Hanford will be an alternate in the event that Councilmember Rasmussen can't make it. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. Anything further, Mr. Farrell? Okay. Any questions for Mr. Worthen or Mr. Farrell? All right. Ms. Nelson?
Starting next week, crews will be out in the field changing out everyone's meter, water meter. Every customer in the city is going to get a new meter. It's part of our AMI upgrade program. And there's going to be a flyer in the utility building that goes out that explains the whole thing. It'll mean a 20-minute interruption per household. We contracted this work out with Ferguson, and the Ferguson employees, they wear identifying clothes, their vehicles are identified, and it says all this in the insert. And they will knock on the door. If no one's home, they will proceed to do change out the meter. And if they're home, I'll explain what's going to happen and make sure that no one's in the shower or anything. And then they hang a blue door hanger on it and say, your meter has been changed out. We now have a new meter. And it gives a phone number to call. It's a public works number to call if you have any questions at all. So we're hoping to do this as smooth as we're going to have stuff on our website. We're emailing stuff. We're sending out as much as we can. Of course, there's going to be people that say, I know nothing about this. There's always some outliers out there that get angry over any change whatsoever. But it has to be done. We need to upgrade our meters. Some of them are way too old and are not accurate anymore. So this is part of the improvement to the infrastructure.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Mrs. Nelson, Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, just a couple of things. So I know, at least in my home, nobody answers the door if they don't know the person, and my wife may not even answer the door. So in cases like that, where they can tell someone's home, but they're not coming to the door, I mean, what's the policy? And the other concern I had was, so you knock on the door and nobody answers, oh, let's go do the water. Well, maybe their dishwasher is mid-cycle, and then it burns up to the dishwasher because they have no water pressure. How's that?
The week before, or a few days before, they're planning on putting out a notice saying, because they don't know how long it'll take them to do each street and everything. So I think the thing is, a day or two before, you'll get a door hanger saying, you're up, it's coming up.
Okay, so there's like a warning. Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Councilmember Gamble.
I was just going to say, I mean, they can tell if there's water running.
Yeah.
So my thought would be that they're not going to disconnect and put a new meter in if they're actually consuming water at that point in time, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So regardless whether or not they answer the door, if there's water actually going, they're not going to interrupt service, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further? Mr. Osaki.
A couple of items. Earlier this month, the council authorized the mayor to sign a consult contract with BDS Planning to work on the strategic plan for the Main Street Downtown Rail Association concept. And that consultant will be here next Tuesday at 3 o'clock as part of a stakeholder meeting during the council chambers. And certainly it'll go from about 3 to 4:30, and those that are interested can go on a walking tour because consult with, like, to go on a walking tour with stakeholders, and that would happen after that 4:30 time period. So certainly all members of the council are welcome to attend that if you wish. Just, I'll send out an email so that those would have an idea whether or not the quorum would be here or not. But that will be a kickoff meeting beginning next Tuesday. And then the other item under staff department reports is track 999. And I've had a chance just to look at that a little bit more. And track 999 is really deeply rooted in the most recent comprehensive plan that the city adopted. It is part of the economic development strategy of creating a regional retail center. So we're suggesting that that discussion occur at the P4 committee, where I kind of lay out a variety of comprehensive plan issues, some alternatives, and then that can be reported back out to the city council.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Osaki? All right, seeing none. Chief Quinzer?
Yes. On May 10th, the council will receive a resolution supporting a pilot program for body cameras for the our officers. You might ask me why I'm bringing this up at this point. The reason I'm bringing it up is because we would like to have citizen input at the comments from citizens on the meeting of May 3rd and also on May 10th. Pro or con or whatever they have to say about body cameras, we would welcome their input at those two council meetings.
Okay. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. Chief, will we receive more information about body cameras, limitations, legal aspects of it before May 3rd, or?
I can give you the legislation that was passed and reference that, and that's what we're working off of.
Okay, and just general opinion of the police department. It sounds like you're in favor of it.
We have met. I have met with the guild, and they have given the go ahead.
Okay.
To do this, we're going to start with two officers for the first 6 months in the pilot program, and if it seems to be working out okay, we're going to, for the 2017 budget, we're going to add an additional four. So eventually we have all the line officers in the city with body cameras on. And I'll explain right now, the reason we're doing this is because the legislature this year passed legislation that limits public disclosure for body cameras.
Right.
Basically to those who have a vested interest in what is going on, a victim, a suspect, a witness, and this legislation was worked out with the ACLU, with media, and other stakeholders, and it's something that the law enforcement's been trying to get through for a number of years to come up with some kind of solution that would not open it up, such as you saw last year when the gentleman made a blanket request for in-car video tapes and to the Seattle Police Department, which they actually had to hire several people to review every single tape they had. This particular legislation would stop or would not allow anonymous requests or blanket requests like that. It also, we have to have everything completed and underway by June 10th of this year.
Okay.
And this also the exemptions to public disclosure law expire on July 1st, 2019. And I have a feeling by that time, body cameras are going to be mandatory for any police department that takes federal money. It's just the feeling I have.
Okay. Whatever information you can provide.
Sure.
Of course. Thank you.
Anything further, Council? All right. Thank you, Chief. Mr. Feilberg?
Happy New Year.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Brazel?
Thank you. Just two quick items. The first one is several meetings ago, council authorized mayor to sign a letter of intent for Parcel 7 at North Kelsey. Since that time, I've been working with Zach to put together a purchase and sale agreement. I'm confident that will be done at the very latest, midweek to late week, and sent to the purchasing party. And we'll get that scheduled to come back to council once the other parties have agreement on the verbiage. So we're still working on that. The other thing that Director Feilberg and Director Nelson and I have been working on is the garbage contract. We've met with the public services on two different occasions, and our thought is to bring that to the Finance Committee on June 7th to review some of the options out there. It's been an educational process for all of us to learn the changes in technology that are out there today and the customer service at some of their other cities are receiving, because they operate differently than we do. They've got a lot of resources that the city doesn't have currently and probably will never have, just because of the size of their organization. So at any rate, we're excited to bring some of that to council, or to the committee at first, and then back to the whole council to kind of see what's out there in this new day. And on that note, while we met with them, I think everybody here knows Janet Pritchard. We were notified that she received a very prestigious award through their company. It's an understanding that she's one of two people in their nationwide company that received this good employee award, for lack of a better word, for exceptional service and that type of thing, and she's being recognized in Florida. So that, if you see her, congratulate her. It's a real big deal for her to get that. So that's all I have this evening.
Great. Any questions for Mr. Brazel? All right. So a couple things that I have to add beyond the Snohomish County Cities and some of the other things that everybody else mentioned. I attended the Monroe Downtown Association Hoedown on Saturday. I would guesstimate that there were probably about 60 to 80 people that had bought tickets. I actually had people get me out on a dance floor, and I haven't done that in 23 years. So, but we had a lot of fun. It was great seeing so many people there. A couple of people came up and commented to me how wonderful it would be to have some sort of venue in the downtown where people could go and dance. And of course, that's not something that we as government can just make happen. It's something that private investors would need to do. But for anybody that would be interested in doing something like that, I think it would be a great thing in the downtown. As part of that, a number of the vendors in the downtown, a number of the restaurants offered 10% off to anybody showing up on Saturday, and some of them, anybody showing up the next day on Sunday, off their bills to go and eat at the restaurants. And yeah, it was just a really great time. So I think that's all that I have to report on this evening. And so yeah, does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. Mr. Brazel.
Okay. Draft agenda for May 3rd, 2016. We have a proclamation, building safety month, and a presentation for the 2016 legislative session report, Green Light Strategy. We have a consent agenda. Final action. We have a resolution approving Skyview Ridge preliminary plat. And then we'll have reports from the Finance and Human Resources Committee and Snohomish County tomorrow steering committee.
Councilmember Gamble.
So I do have a conflict that's come up on the third. I know we have a Finance Committee meeting that night. I can come for the Finance Committee meeting, be here for about half hour, 40 minutes, so to do our Finance Committee meeting. Then I'll need to leave and then come back about an hour later. Just wanted to.
Okay. We'll make a note of it. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll be about an hour late to the council meeting, but I would still plan on attending the Finance meeting before.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have anything else for Mr. Russell? Okay, and we'll populate the extended agenda with the items that were discussed this evening from Community Coalition. Go ahead, Liz.
I just wanted to remind council as well that we're hoping to get a quick listing of your upcoming absences or vacations or out of offices, just so we know if you miss any meetings in the next about 4 to 5 months. So really covering the summer period. And then also, you know, just in case anything comes up, even when there aren't council meetings, if you're out, then you just know that, you know, you're not reachable during those times. So if you could send that to me, that would be great. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Brown? Okay, there is no need for an executive session this evening, and there is no other business that we have for council to act on. Is there a motion to Councilmember Gamble?
Motion to adjourn.
Sorry. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Kemp. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. And thank you for your service.
Let's start the show. I guess.